red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.
White text appears on a black background, a Netflix original anime film. Black text appears on a white background, Studio Panic. In animation, balloons rise high around a bell tower. In a town, film unspools from a giant reel that looms behind a building. Beneath columns holding up the town, gears turn. A belt runs along spinning cogwheels. A family stands in the basket of one of many hot air balloons floating nearby. A projector lens protrudes from the middle of the town. Balloons float, then pop, releasing bouncing letters that spell Panic. Outside of the floating town, day turns to night and the lens projects a light. Text appears. Volume 1. Modest Heroes. A large crab stands by two smaller crabs above the text, Studio Panic. Bright sunlight reflects off of a babbling brook lined with moss-covered rocks. A title appears, Canini and Canino. A small sprite lands on a branch. She flies away as another sprite approaches her. The small creatures each have human features with a tail and wings reminiscent of a dragonfly. The female sprite flies over the brook toward other sprites. The other sprite follows. Underwater, beams of sunlight illuminate a caped figure running down a submerged branch. On the floor of the stream, green fronds shade a red and white rock. A pale fish swims near a narrow space under the rock. A crab claw extends from the narrow space and moves toward the fish. The fish dodges the claw. A caped figure emerges wielding the claw at the end of a staff.
Canino.
Another caped figure holds onto Canino. A larger crab claw staff snatches the pale fish. A bearded man floats down and smiles at them. The two children swim into their father's arms.
Canini!
Tata! Tata!
Canino!
Tata! Tata! Tata!
Their father picks up Canino's claw staff and places the pale fish between its pincers. He slings the staff over Canino's shoulder. Canino jubilantly swims in circles. Her brother Canini smiles. His father tosses a bundle of fish into his arms. His smile widens.
Yeah! Yeah!
A large shadow passes over them. Their father looks up. An enormous fish swims near the surface.
Toto.
Canini and Canino stand close to their father, gazing upward. He puts his arms around them and leads them under the red and white rock. Underneath, the family enters a dwelling. Canino looks toward a mossy bed that lies empty. Canini joins her and averts his gaze. Their father puts a hand on Canino's shoulder. Several fish skeletons lie in leaves picked clean. Sunlight brightens the dwelling. Several tiny feet run along the rocky floor. Four children latch onto their father's arms. He lifts them into the air as more children rush around him. An older boy shows Canini and Canino how to use their claw staffs. A woman, their mother, lays on the mossy bed with a large pregnant belly. Canino leans her head against it. Her mother's belly undulates. They share a smile. Then Canino and Canini stand with their father looking up. Their mother swims skyward.
Kaka!
She turns toward her family, smiling.
Kaka!
She waves as she floats away. Now Canino opens her eyes. Lightning flashes across her face. She eyes a sleeping Canini beside her and rises. Up above, rain pours on the rushing brook. The father returns to the dwelling. Kanini swims up and embraces him.
Kanini!
The father glances around the dwelling.
Kanino?
Kanini puts a pensive finger on his chin and shrugs. The father's expression turns serious. He looks beyond the dwelling. Bubbles rush by with the current. Leaves flutter in the same direction. The father walks toward the dwelling exit. Kanini follows. Outside, Kanino clings to the branch of a nearby bough that wavers in the current. She reaches for a fluttering leaf. She looks below. Her father and Kanini ascend the bough toward her.
Kanino!
Tata! Nini!
The current intensifies.
Nino!
Kanino slips to the end of the branch. The father climbs toward her. He pulls the branch with his claw staff and gets a hold of Kanino.
Tata!
They shimmy back down the bough. Kanini takes his sister in his arms.
Nino! Nini!
Their father's eyes widen. A flurry of bubbles comes rushing forth. A bubble knocks him from the branch. Kanini and Kanino gape. He grits his teeth and looks back at them. Another bubble slams him in the face. The current sweeps him away.
Tata!
Now, as the current calms, Kanino huddles on a rock by herself. A large crab and two smaller crabs peer out from a nearby crevice. They duck down as Kanini runs past. He rushes up to the top of a rock and gazes outward at the barren brook. Small pieces of debris float around him. He looks upward. A sprite's wing floats away with the current. Kanini wipes tears from his eyes. He returns to Kanino.
Kanino.
He points in the direction of the current.
Toto.
He puts a hand on her shoulder.
Kanino.
She bats away his hand. He recoils, then grabs her arm.
Kanino.
She pulls away her arm and remains huddled on the ground. Her tears float around her.
Toto. Kaka!
She lifts her head. Kanini stands with his back to her, fighting back his own tears. Kanino gazes at him. She looks the other direction. The watching crab family stirs and returns to their crevice. One of the smaller crabs remains. A large claw reaches out and pulls it inside. Kanino's expression hardens. She stands with Kanini. They walk forward, away from their dwelling. The large shadow darkens the bed of the brook. A fish skeleton floats among leaves. A family of chubby seahorse-like creatures swims away in a hurry. Kanini and Kanino traverse the rocky terrain. They stop and gaze ahead.
Nini?
Kanini looks to his right, staring into the distance. He grabs his sister's wrist. They duck under a rock and speed away. A massive fish swims overhead, brandishing a gaping, toothy mouth. Kanini and Kanino swiftly flee to the surface. They ascend a mossy rock on the bank of the stream. At the top, they catch their breath. Kanino drops to her knees. Kanini looks toward the other side of the brook. Kanino looks up, then tackles her brother off the side of the rock. A trio of raccoons gallops across the bank. Kanino and Kanini duck in the rocks and watch them continue into the woods. One of the creatures glances backwards, then hops through a bush. Kanini and Kanino gape. Rain begins to fall. The siblings climb up a leafy rock. Kanini grabs a leaf with his claw staff and holds out a hand for Kanino. Rain drips off of their clasped hands. They reach the top and look over the other edge. Below, a small pool with calm waters extends off the side of the brook. Kanini stares down and scans the water with a knit brow. Kanino spots something below the surface.
Toto.
She jumps into the pool and swims below.
Kanino!
She resurfaces holding the sprite wing in her claw staff.
Nene! Honey.
Kanini's mouth hangs open. He jumps into the pool. He swims downward. Kanino follows.
Toto?
He nods and points toward the bed of the pool. The siblings swim downward. Kanini's foot sinks into the soil. He and his sister perch atop a branch jutting out of the ground. His eyes fall on the gap between two nearby rocks. A crab claw sticks out of the top.
Toto.
Kanini hops over to the rocks. He picks up the crab claw. Kanino casts her gaze outward.
Toto!
Across the pool, their battered father lays in a rocky crevice. He lifts his head.
Kanini! Kanino!
Toto!
The siblings halt. Their father shakes his head and waves them off. They stand gaping. The massive fish circles around the rocks where their father hides.
Kanini! Kanino!
He tries to stand but falls. The fish glides overhead, moving towards his children. The fish's searching eyes twitch. Kanini and Kanino shudder. Kanini aims his claw staff, standing between the fish and his sister. The fish swims close and stops right in front of them. The siblings stand back stiffly. Its eyes fall on them. Its toothy mouth opens and closes. A steely look washes over Kanini's face. His eyes glisten. He grabs Kanino and dives off the side of the rock. The sprite wing flutters upward. He grabs it with his claw staff. He throws the staff with the wing still in its claw. The fish's eye shifts to the staff. It quickly swims and chomps on it, kicking up a current. Kanini takes his sister's hand. They swim over to their father. The fish turns its head and drops the staff from its mouth.
Kanini! Kanino!
The siblings speed toward their father. The fish gives chase. Its open mouth lunges at the family. Their father takes Kanini and Kanino in his arms. He stares into the gaping maw and grits his teeth. He looks upward. A giant beak plunges into the pool and closes on the fish's head. The fish flails, knocking the family back into the crevice. The father gazes. The beak rises out of the water, clutching the squirming fish. Kanino and Kanini gape. A giant bird swallows the fish. It stalks away. The father lowers his head and holds his children tightly. Now Canino stands on the crest of a rock. Behind her, Canini assists their wounded father. They look ahead toward the red and white rock over their dwelling. They look up. Their mother waves. She swims down toward them, carrying 5 newborns in a sling. Canino beams. She swims up to her mother. They embrace. Canino eyes the newborns. One of the newborns floats upward. Canino swims up to catch it. Canini smiles. He looks up at his father, who nods. Canini joins Canino, his mother, and his new siblings outside their dwelling.
Kaka. Canini.
She eyes the teeth marks in Canini's claw staff.
Canini.
She looks toward the bandaged father who hobbles toward them using a crutch. Still holding the newborn, Canino makes a big gesture with her hand. Canini smiles at his mother. She embraces him tearfully and strokes his hair. Tears well in his eyes. He buries his face in her shoulder. Canino leans against her father. He pulls her closer as they gaze upon Canini and the mother. Canino swims over and embraces her mother. Sunlight beams across the brook. Green trees shimmer above the wavy surface. Stray leaves float past. Credits. Cast. Fumino Kimura. Ryo Suzuki, Masaki Terasoma, Yuko Sasaki, Eito Kawahara, Siyu Miyano, Sota Shinohara, Masato Tanaka, Ririko Ikeshita, Taiga Komie, Mei Yokoyama, Noa Miyake, Miku Iwasaki, Director of Photography Susumu Fukushi, Editing Toshihiko Kojima, Concept Artist Kouji Tajima, presented by Studio Panic. Nippon Television Network and Dentsu, a Studio Panic film. Copyright 2018 Studio Panic. Music Takatsugu Muramatsu. Producer Yoshiaki Nishimura. Screenplay written and directed by Hiromasa Yonebayashi. Now an older Canino swims to the rock outside the dwelling. Canini joins her. They look back toward the dwelling. Their mother, father, and 5 siblings wave.
Nah!
Canini and Canino proceed away from the dwelling. The siblings have grown, each carrying their own small claw staff. Canini and Canino swim toward a group of other cape-wearing figures waving at them. Words appear. The end. Copyright 2018 Studio Panic. Now the giant projector reels in the floating town come to a stop. The darkened sky illuminates. Several windmills spin on the floating town. The sky goes dark again. A beam of light emits from the projector's lens. Next, an egg sits atop a boy's head. Black ink forms a frowning face on the egg. Words overhead read Studio Panic. At a hospital ward, children occupy beds while parents sit beside them. Medical staff consult with clipboards.
Good morning. Glad you're here. We should be getting started any minute now. And how are you doing today?
I'm not supposed to eat nuts.
That's right. Everyone is different. Nuts, flour, shrimp.
Mom, can I just wait here? Sure, it'll be our turn soon.
A mother offers her son a water bottle. He shakes his head.
What about you? What makes you feel bad when you eat it?
Eggs.
Well, I can't have milk. Ugh, they're gonna make us eat, and I don't wanna. Ugh.
All right, it's 10 o'clock, everyone.
Just
time to start the tolerance test. Now, these pancakes you're going to eat have something in them that you may not like, but this is just a little test to show us how much each of you can eat.
I don't like this part.
No way!
You know why we came here, right? To eat. We told you that.
Hello there. Let's try and eat a lot today, all right?
If I can eat it, does that mean I'm okay?
Maybe. We'll see how it goes.
I hate throwing up. I don't want to eat.
We won't know if you don't eat.
But I threw up the last time.
So today you're not even gonna try?
I think I can eat even more. So maybe at school, I can finally eat the school lunches with everyone.
The Eggiverse boy sits up in bed, clutching his stomach. His mother leans forward.
Shun, what is it? Your stomach hurts? Excuse me, doctor?
Sweat beads on Shun's forehead.
He'll be fine. Don't worry.
Now a title appears in front of apartment terraces, Life Ain't Gonna Lose. An egg forms the O in Gonna. In a kitchen, Shun's mom prepares food. She follows his voice.
Mom! Mom! Mom!
Shun?
In a bathroom, Shun examines his mouth in the mirror.
What's wrong?
She grabs the corners of his mouth and looks inside.
It's not that.
She reads the back of a product.
None here.
No, Mom, it's not that. I lost a tooth.
Oh, really? Oh, you really had me scared for a minute.
Is everything all right?
Yeah, he lost a tooth.
Oh, I see. Well, I'm off to work.
Have a good day.
A man in a suit departs.
What do I do with it?
You throw upper teeth under the house and bottom teeth up on the roof.
Shun looks at the tooth in his hand. He steps out onto the terrace and looks over the railing. He throws the tooth at a slanted roof below. An older woman looks up. Now Shun packs an auto injector.
You take your medicine?
Yep.
On the building stairs.
Today I'll talk with your teacher about your nature field trip and see what we need to do, because you are definitely going. Definitely.
The older woman sweeps the sidewalk.
Well, good morning, Shun.
Oh, good morning. Shun?
Shun looks at his mother.
I don't have to go.
Shun runs off. His mother's expression fades. Now hives mark a baby's skin. Shun's mom holds a phone and leans close.
That's right. Trouble breathing. Yes, and he threw up. Well, our regular GP told us that if it ever gets like this, we should take him to the emergency room.
Now she pedals a bicycle. Baby Shun rests in a sling on her back. At the hospital, a nurse examines Shun.
It could be anaphylaxis.
Anaphylaxis?
Get him to pediatrics. Once he's recovered, have them run a full allergy panel.
Right.
With a doctor.
Your son has a food allergy. You'll have to keep him away from eggs.
Don't give him eggs.
And avoid any baby food, or snacks, or any processed foods with eggs in them.
You can consult with the nutritionist, too.
If he does eat something he shouldn't, and he has an anaphylactic reaction, keep him still. Don't move him. Be alert for labored breathing or any abnormal coughing. His life will be at risk, so don't hesitate to give the injection. Then call an ambulance.
Years later, she gives Shun the injection. An ambulance pulls away from their building. Shun's mom browses in a grocery aisle. She answers her cell phone. Her eyes go wide and her mouth drops open. Then she sprints down a sidewalk. In a classroom, young children gather at the doors, gazing at an ambulance outside. A half-eaten piece of cake sits on a plate. Now a dense crowd moves through a market. A food vendor cooks fried eggs. Shun's parents move through the crowd.
Shun!
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 In the crowd, a passerby with food bumps into Shun, smearing egg on his face. His parents dash toward him.
Shun!
Shun collapses.
Shun!
His mother wipes his face. His father takes out his cell phone. His mother wraps her arms around him. An ambulance door closes. The ambulance pulls away. Now at a school, Shun stands in a hallway outside a classroom where children sit with trays of food.
Hey, come sit next to me.
Uh-huh. We're all done serving.
Yeah.
Time to eat.
It's so cool.
Come on, Shun. It's okay. You can come inside now.
Inside.
Shun, your lunchbox lunch always looks just like the school lunch.
Your mother makes her lunch, doesn't she?
She's good.
Yeah.
Hey, I want a lunchbox, too.
And we can always eat what we like.
Yeah. Don't get so close. You'll spill it as lunch.
We didn't even eat.
Don't. Whoa. Just stop it.
Shields.
Okay. Go on.
Get on back to your seat.
You're the worst.
Shun stands.
Okay. Let's eat, everyone.
Let's eat.
Now at a dance studio, Shun's mom leads a group in a choreographed routine. Then Shun and a short-haired girl play on pull-up bars outside the school.
Mm. Oh, it's hopeless.
You just gotta try and get your body closer to the bar.
She kicks her feet as she pulls herself up.
I hate the sports test. I'm looking forward to the field trip, though.
Shun looks toward a window. Inside, his mother speaks with the teacher and another man.
You're gonna be coming on the field trip with us, aren't you?
Well, I haven't decided.
'Cause we stay overnight? Come on, you gotta go.
Yeah.
Everyone will be extra careful. The teacher, too. And you, too, Shun. You can get special meals. It will be fine.
Now Shun walks with his mother.
He said no need to pack special meals. He can eat at home. Go back and forth. Not even stay over. Can you believe that? Give me a break. What kind of field trip is that?
They take cover from heavy rain under an awning.
Whoa!
Not gonna rain, huh? That gets my goat.
Just a squall.
Well, even so. Why bother making a forecast? Let's just take a break till it stops.
In a restaurant, Shun and his mother read menus.
You're not hungry? This isn't going to work. We'll just have drinks then.
She sips the tea. Shun drinks from a bottle of orange liquid.
Oh. Yeah, your teacher gave me this. Not this. Wait, where is it?
A flyer.
A dance festival. Can I go see it?
Oh, I'm not sure I'll even be in it. Anyway, not that. This. This. What is this?
A worksheet.
Arithmetic?
This.
A problem using eggs.
Okay, I get it. I know that you hate eggs. But why didn't you at least answer the question? Like you did the bananas and the apples. You know the answers, don't you?
Of course I know, but it really sucks. So that's why I didn't answer it.
Oh, I see. So it sucks, does it? Since when do you talk like that? You say that around other people?
Shun takes out a pencil.
Big deal. Come on, this is Tokyo, you know?
Don't you start saying, you know. That's even worse. Is that understood?
Shun scribbles on the worksheet. Now children shuffle back and forth outside the school. Shun smiles under a sheen of sweat.
Time! Shuttle run's next!
Yeah!
Now six children do a shuttle run. Two children give up. The remaining four sprint toward a white line. Shun steps over the line and sprints back the other way. Another kid gives up. Shun breaks ahead and touches the other line first before heading back the other way. Only he and one other kid remain. Shun hits the line with a fierce look. The other kid gives up. At the pull-up bars, the short-haired girl hoists herself over the top.
Yay!
A panting Shun crosses the line again.
77, a new class record!
The short-haired girl skips over to him.
I did it! I did it! I did reverse pullover! Yay!
She hugs Shun. Next, at the apartment. Shun mimics the baseball pitcher on TV.
Okay, let's go. You said you wanted to see it, right?
Next, Shun and his mother walk from a bus stop.
This is our last rehearsal, so you stay quiet, okay? Because this is very serious. Everyone's hoping to move on from here to the big leagues.
Their majors debut!
Now, dancers clad in black perform a routine on a white stage. They gyrate their hips and throw out their arms in synchrony. They hop backwards and cross their arms in front of themselves. Shun's mother dances with the group, twisting her body with intricate rhythm. Shun watches from a chair in front of the stage. He drinks from a water bottle. Another person watching places a package of cookies on a table beside him. Shun fixates on the elaborate dance. He takes a cookie. Shun's mother twirls with her eyes closed. Her expression falls as she opens them. Shun brings the cookie to his mouth. She slaps the cookie away.
Stop! What are you doing? Why would you do that? You could have died!
Tears well in Shun's eyes. His mother's mouth hangs open. The other dancers gape. She turns her head and closes her eyes. Her eyelids twitch. Now she rides the bus with Shun. Shun gazes out the window. His mother eyes the back of Shun's head and reaches a hand toward his shoulder.
Forgive me, Shun.
Next, at a baseball field. Shun rides a bike clad in a baseball uniform. He stops and gazes at a dead pigeon on the ground. He continues pedaling. Shun returns home and removes his bag and his helmet. He opens the freezer and retrieves a small container of vanilla ice cream. At the table, he tries removing some with a spoon, but it won't penetrate. Shun jabs the spoon in the ice cream and leaves it sticking up in the air. He walks away and removes his baseball attire. Shirtless, he crosses the hallway to another room. The spoon slowly tilts as the ice cream thaws. Shun returns with a new shirt. He eats a spoonful of ice cream. Mm-hmm. His face quivers as he reads the ingredients. He rushes to the phone.
Mom, the ice cream's got eggs in it!
Wait, our ice cream?
Yeah, the one we always have.
Okay, your injection. Your injection, get your injection.
Shun races to a box on a shelf and pulls out an injector.
Shun? I'm gonna call the rice shop and have them come right over. Sit quietly. Don't move. Just wait. Shun? Shun!
Shun bolts out of the apartment. Hives break out across his skin. He sprints down the building stairs. He smacks into a wall. Sweat beads down his hive-covered face. He rounds a corner and keeps running. Shun sits on a step. Tears seep out of his tightly closed eyes. An image of the dead pigeon flashes.
You could have died!
I ain't gonna die.
Shun picks himself up and stumbles down the rest of the stairs. He collapses on a landing. The older woman comes running up the stairs.
Shun!
He drops the injector. The older woman rushes over to him. Now Shun's mom watches as he's loaded onto an ambulance.
Shun, it's okay. You did it, honey. Good boy.
She joins him in the ambulance.
You're gonna be just fine.
Mom?
Yeah?
I want...
What?
I want to get better.
I know. And you will.
I will.
Shun smiles.
Shun? Where you lost that tooth?
Huh?
There's a new one coming in.
All right.
A grown-up tooth? Great! That tooth is definitely gonna eat an egg.
Shun tongues the new tooth. The ambulance continues down a street. Now Shun stands in a chicken coop outside the school. He stares at a lone egg lying in a nest. He bends down and reaches for it. His hand hovers over the egg. He picks it up and gives it a contemptuous stare. Shun raises the egg over his head. He lowers his hand. Shun draws on the eggshell and places it back in the nest. Black markings form a frowning face on the egg with a sheathed sword at its waist. Now Shun stands in the batter's box on a baseball field. He hits the ball into the sky. Credits. Cast: Mom, Mackie Q, Shun, Henry Kaufman, Jessica DeChico, Scarlett Estevez, Todd Haberkorn, Kate Higgins, Erica Lindbeck, Nicholas Oteri, Carrie Walgren. Presented by Studio Panic, Nippon Television Network, and Dentsu. A Studio Panic film. Copyright 2018 Studio Panic. Producer Yoshiaki Nishimura. Screenplay written and directed by Yoshiyuki Momose. Words appear. The end. Copyright 2018 Studio Panic. Now the windmills and the floating town come to a stop. The sky illuminates once again. A Ferris wheel and clock begin to turn. Film threads through gears within the town. The projector beams outward as the sky darkens. A pair of sunglasses appears over white text. Studio Panic. A clock hand ticks within the first O in Panic. An alarm clock reads 7 o'clock. An empty pajama sleeve reaches over. The clock moves without being touched. Words appear against a black background, directed by Akihiko Yamashita. Through an opaque door, the outline of a shirt pulls up the outline of a pair of pants, produced by Yoshiaki Nishimura. A 4-kilogram weight lies over left foot. The right foot stands on top. Music by Yasutaka Nakata. A shirt cuff hovers beside a tie. The tie tightens around a collar. A pair of glasses unfolds over a sink and float into position above the shirt collar. They look into the mirror, revealing a standing outfit with no person inside. The outfit places down the weight and picks up a fire extinguisher. It stands before a door. The outfit exits. Now the outfit rides a moped along a highway. It passes below an overpass. A scarf flaps in the wind around its seemingly absent neck. The fire extinguisher rests atop a backpack behind it. A title appears, Invisible. The dark letters bend and become transparent on the right side. Now the invisible man types at a computer. He presses the enter key. He presses again. A man in a suit walks into the showroom of a car dealership. He bows to a couple.
Welcome. I'll get someone to assist you right away.
The invisible man stands.
Hey, Sato.
Yes. Welcome.
The invisible man watches Sato greet the couple.
Are you interested in a new car? Have a particular model in mind?
A book, pen, and brochures lie on the floor. A young woman kneels to pick them up.
Oh, dear.
The invisible man stands inches away. A sheen of sweat in the outline of a face appears behind his glasses. He picks up the pen and holds it in front of her. She looks at the pen.
Ah, so that's where it went.
She takes the pen and goes. He follows her with his gaze. The invisible man nearly drops his fire extinguisher. He clutches onto it. Now he drives his moped along the curve of a hillside road. The fire extinguisher hangs over his shoulder. A volleyball comes bouncing into the road. The invisible man catches it and stops his moped. A group of children comes running. He chucks it back toward them and nearly loses his balance. One of the kids catches the ball. They go running back toward a larger group of children. The invisible man attempts to restart his moped. Now the invisible man walks his moped into a convenience store parking lot. The sliding doors close as he approaches. He stumbles backward, swaying with the weight of the fire extinguisher. The doors open as a woman with a scarf approaches. He goes inside and tips his helmet in her direction. The invisible man stands before an ATM. He stands off balance as he examines his card. A prepackaged apple pastry rests on a shelf. The invisible man looks at coins in his hand. He puts the pastry on the counter. A shop clerk looks over.
Oh.
She approaches another man on his left.
Hello. So sorry to have kept you waiting.
She starts ringing up his items. The invisible man stares and starts to back away. He leaves the pastry on the counter.
Thank you.
The invisible man waits by the door, then exits with the other man. Outside, a group of men in uniform passes him.
Yeah, we all went out last night, too.
Did I pay last time?
Yeah, you did.
He trudges across the parking lot.
Wait, excuse me.
The clerk comes running toward him. He turns to face her. She runs right through him and catches up with the other man.
Excuse me, you forgot this.
Oh, thank you.
The extinguisher hangs around the invisible man's neck. He leans forward as he walks toward his moped. He sways on his toes. Then he turns toward the street and raises the extinguisher over his head. He throws the extinguisher into the road, then leaps forward. He catches it midair and huddles with it on the ground. A truck hurtles by, knocking him over. He drops the extinguisher. His body starts floating into the air. He grips the pavement. A gust of wind propels him forward. He paws at the ground and reaches for the extinguisher. He gets a hand on the nozzle but loses his grip. He grabs at his moped but knocks it over. He floats high above the shop and slams against the wall of a building. He braces himself against the wall before his legs rise again. He continues gliding upward over the building and through a flock of seagulls. His arms flail and his legs kick as he drifts into the stormy sky. He collides with a massive panda-shaped balloon and grabs hold of its ear. His helmet pops off and plummets back to Earth. Lightning reflects in his glasses. A seagull flies past his face. The panda ear grows taut around his grip. The wind pulls him higher. His hands clutch the edge of the balloon. He moves a hand further down. The invisible man climbs down the balloon. He makes it to one of the strings tethering the balloon to the ground. A strong wind blows the balloon sideways. It brushes against a rooftop parking lot, dropping the invisible man. He skids across pavement and snatches a bucket filled with water. He floats over the edge of the building and gets dragged down by the bucket. He plunges toward a construction site. He hits the ground and drops the bucket.
What?
The invisible man snatches a pickaxe from a construction worker as he floats overhead. He rides the pickaxe to a graceful landing on a nearby road. He hunches over and trembles. Now the moped stands parked to the right of a bridge. The invisible man sits on a small stairway nearby, still holding the pickaxe. Beads of rain collect on his invisible face. A golden retriever walks over and licks his face. He turns toward the dog.
What is it, Emily?
The owner holds a guide dog harness.
Even you're interested, huh?
An umbrella conceals the owner's face.
That's not like you, girl.
The invisible man stares up at him.
Can you...
The owner drinks from a can.
Never mind. Yes, I can see very clearly.
The invisible man grips his stomach. The dog owner starts to walk. He stops and offers an apple pastry. The invisible man glances at it, then up at the owner. The owner's face remains hidden behind the umbrella.
If you don't mind, might I ask what's brought you here? Are you just going to stay? Or are you...
The invisible man accepts the pastry. Emily leaves with her owner. The invisible man stares down at the pastry in his hands. He takes a bite. The top of the pastry disappears into his invisible mouth. Gooey filling stains his lips as he chews. He eats some more, then scarfs down the rest in one bite. The invisible man looks up at fast-moving clouds. He looks to his right. Another bridge stands in the distance. He lets himself float but keeps his grip on the end of the pickaxe. Something beyond the bridge catches his eye. He looks the other way. A truck comes speeding up the road toward the other bridge. The invisible man scrambles to his moped. The truck flies past him. He speeds after it on his moped. The truck rounds a sharp curve. The moped skids across the sidewalk as it follows. The invisible man comes up along the right side of the truck. Large raindrops seem to move horizontally as he keeps pace. They draw closer to the bridge. The invisible man looks ahead. A stroller careens down a hill. He leans forward on the moped and pulls ahead of the truck. He keeps his grip on the handlebars as his legs float into the air behind him. The front tire blows out. The pickaxe and moped go tumbling backwards. The invisible man hovers in front of the truck's cab. The stroller lurches into the road, directly into the path of the truck. The invisible man reaches for it. He grabs the stroller. The truck continues around a curve. Two people sprint toward the road. The stroller sits half buried in a bush, one wheel still spinning. The invisible man lays on his back, nearby, cradling something in his arms. Streaks of blood and foliage mark his invisible face. The baby in his arms lifts its head under a hood adorned with animal ears. The invisible man's glasses duck below his collar.
Peek-a-boo! Peek-a-boo!
The baby opens its shining eyes and smiles. Credits. Cast. Alex Cazares. Yuri Lowenthal. Liam O'Brien. Carrie Walgren. Mick Wingert. Editing, Toshihiko Kojima. Director of Photography and Digital Imaging, Atsushi Okui. Presented by Studio Panic, Nippon Television Network, and Dentsu. Copyright 2018 Studio Panic. Music, Yasutaka Nakata. Producer, Yoshiaki Nishimura. Screenplay written and directed by Akihiko Yamashita. A Studio Panic film. Now the invisible man drives his moped under an overpass. The sun gleams on the water below. Copyright 2018 Studio Panic. Now words appear over the floating projector town. Volume 1, Modest Heroes. In the center of the town, a red curtain conceals a stage with three arches. Gears turn around the stage. The curtain rises. In the leftmost arch, Canini holds hands with Canino. They wear smiles and wave. Words appear, Canini and Canino, Hiromaso Yonabayashi. In the center, a crude drawing of Shun grins. Life ain't gonna lose. Yoshiyuki Momose. On the right, the invisible man waves. Invisible, Akihiko Yamashita. The curtain closes. The projector light turns on. Credits appear on a screen in front of the projector. Audio description provided by International Digital Center. Written by Stephen Christopher. Voiced by Richie Pepio. Credits. Opening and ending animation. Director, Takuya Okada. Producer, Kazuyuki Shimada. Editing, Toshihiko Kojima. Yumiko Nakaba. Opening theme song, Welcome to Ponoc Short Films Theater, Kayla Kimura. Lyrics, Kayla Kimura. Shinobu Watanabe. Studio Ponoc. Composition and arrangement, Shinobu Watanabe. ELA Victor Entertainment. Closing theme song, Chi Isana Aiyu, Modest Heroes, original motion picture version, Kayla Kimura. Lyrics, Kayla Kimura, Shinobu Watanabe. Studio Ponoc. Composition and arrangement, Shinobu Watanabe. ELA Victor Entertainment. Distribution, Toho. Presented by Studio Ponoc, Nippon Television Network, and Dentsu. Copyright 2018 Studio Ponoc. Producer, Yoshiaki Nishimura. A Studio Ponoc film. From the projector flickers, then flashes on and off repeatedly. Colorful fireworks burst all around the floating town. The blades of a windmill reform into the shape of the letter N. The clock and a watermill form the letter O on either side of it. A balloon in the shape of the letter P floats into position on the left. Lights shine in circles around the O's. Hands on the clock spin. A crescent moon swings down from the sky to place a letter C on the right. The letters light up to create a logo. Studio Ponoc. Blackness circles in around three letters on various signs across the town. E, N, and D. The end.
A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.